SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Meet your kid to grow up and be a football player because free agency money's being handed out hand over fist right now with a lot of deals we'll go over, but the best hour of your day is now officially underway. It is Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin here. And my goodness, we got college basketball we got to get to. But the NFL continues to press the lever down, which we'll get to in a few moments. I just want to start with this topic here. I look at the NFL, right? I look at the NBA. And let's just say, I don't know, hockey per se, as like that fourth, you know, a little bit down the ways professional sport to the other big three. I say to myself, how much fun football is. Free agency hits in the tampering period, and it is a constant barrage of minute after minute after minute deals left and right. So much fun to watch it play out. And my first thought that comes to mind is to go, baseball has thousands of free agents, and nobody gets a damn signature on a check until like February, months away. Can you imagine, though, Kevin, like just before we get into the nuts and bolts of what's going on in the NFL is, why doesn't baseball have a flurry of hundreds of signings in the first 24 hours?
Yeah, that's exactly how it should be. The NBA started all of this. The NBA is still, to me, the absolute best at this, with not just free agency, the deadline, trade requests, like real player movement, because the reality is people love this stuff. Like if Miles Garrett was in the NBA, he probably would be on a new team. But, you know, he ends up staying with the Cleveland Browns. The NFL has continuously gotten better and better and better at it. And they now kind of unleashed the, you know, legal tampering window. Now, it's absurd that we have full contract details unleashed, but we're like, we think Milton Williams will be a Patriot. It's like, shut up. This is stupid. But, you know, this is the stuff that baseball always gets wrong. Always gets wrong. The free agency's tower. It's why we used to the MLB trade line used to be the cream of the crop. And now we get to the MLB trade line, like, yeah, there's only like four sellers. And it's like, what? Yeah. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Mm-mm. And here's what's going on out there, people. Just signed Daniel Jones. Ugh. The Indianapolis Colts for as much as $17.5 million. That means he's been brought in as actual competition, because understand this, I've crushed Jim Irsay in the past because I don't think he's a very good owner overall. Scatterbrained, Jonathan Taylor, you are the worst player I've ever seen. I will never pay you. Sit out to, you know, man, that guy's the best I've ever seen here. He's a monster contract. Get back in camp 24 hours later. He does things that are odd. But you want to talk about money not well spent? If you sign Daniel Jones to, let's just say, the escalators take it up to 17.5, 1 year, $14 million as your backup, and he never sees the field. I don't know what Indianapolis is doing right now, but that contract leads me to leave. They are worried, Kevin, about Mr. Richardson back there.
Yeah, which to me suggests that they are terribly ran. And every indication was there last year as well. Anthony Richardson started like four college games. Mm-hmm. I think the real number's like what? 10? Honestly. Like 4 weeks ago, not even. Ballard's at the podium. We knew Anthony Richardson was going to take time when we drafted him. They, year number one, didn't get to see a lot of him because he was injured for the season pretty quickly. Year number two, he's in the lineup. He's out of the lineup. Joe Flacco will save this season. Oh my gosh, Joe Flacco's terrible. Whoops. Sorry. AR, get back out there. And they are now dead set on bringing in competition for Anthony Richardson. But these fools have somehow convinced themselves they need to pay anything that resembles real money for that competition. Lost. They are absolutely lost at the wheel. In fact, Donnie,
Let's go back to some of the other analysis you've used for other teams. You know what they should do? Tell Richardson you are playing every snap, every game. Because if you're terrible, good. We won't see you again, and we drafted a new quarterback inside the top three anyway.
True.
Every Daniel Jones snap this season is a disaster for this football team.
Yep. You're right about it. You're absolutely correct. It's almost what you call a kid, Kevin. Are you going to sink or swim out there? You're either going to perform really well, or you're going to drop like a rock to the bottom. And you know what? We're okay either way at that point. We just don't want you saying, hey, play good for six games, then get injured for the next 4 weeks. Like, we just can't have that at this point. But, Kevin, there's some big deals brewing out here. Let's put this up here. Little mysteries in Philadelphia, Kevin. Why is that? Do they have anybody left on defense? We don't know. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson, just a few days away from saying, man, get these bum-ass vets out of town here. We're fine with these young boys back in the secondary.
Yeah.
Another vet on the move. It's C.J. Gardner-Johnson to the Houston Texans, who now look like they have the semblance of a knockout secondary with absolutely nobody on their offensive line.
Yeah, the weird part is, as they've lost member and member and member of the offensive line, their offensive line was atrocious. So I think their thought process was, we can afford to lose these guys. Ew. Like, it's not going to kill us, Donnie, to lose a guy who's terrible. You know, that's kind of the MO. I think for Philadelphia, the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson stuff potentially off-field was as impactful as on-field. I'm a fan of his. That's pure Eagle analysis. Mm-hmm. He is a lot of fun. He's a guy you love to have on your team. He was a huge part of the Super Bowl victory, the Super Bowl run, and we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
It saved the Eagles some money. There were exits we were expecting, both Milton Williams and Josh Sweat. I think both of us thought would be out the door. Slay Bradbury. Okay, again, not really much of a thought there. Gardner-Johnson was not one that I was expecting. And now you look a little bit at the Eagles offseason, you go, okay, they've retained some guys. Who have the Eagles brought in anybody new? Right? No. So you go, well, you have to be worse then. You have to be. If all you've done is send guys out, you have to be worse. That's just kind of. Now, guys can get better, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. I'm not telling you the Eagles are set up to be bad, right? But the Eagles have to do a little bit more. They're going to have to either have a very good draft, Donnie, make a trade. They're going to have to do some stuff here kind of to fill out the rest of this roster.
Now, understand this. Like, Howie Roseman, I think, is the best general manager in football. He obviously had this game plan together because he sent out one of those cryptic tweets slash, I'm going to do an interview. Hey, you better be patient out here. Understand what the Eagles are doing, too, because they made it. The point was, we cannot lose Zach Bond. We got to sign him, bring him back here. Well, I think we have movable parts everywhere else. Ooh, other linebacker. That means N'Kobe Dean's probably having a very good offseason with the rehab. They expect him to be back next year, and it'll be cheap. So on the end of his rookie contract, Sidney Brown was drafted in the third round to be that takeover safety. He got injured in that meaningless Giants game 2 years ago, made his way back to the field. He'll take over for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But understand this, too. There's been a lot of money. Like, the Eagles have enough money to sign a lot more players. They're clearing cap space. Now, does that mean the end of Mekhi Becton because you got a guard? Not necessarily. The Eagles might have just did that as a salary dump, saying, hey, we don't want to cut this guy. We'll trade him. We'll pick up a fifth-round pick. We'll trade you a sixth-round pick. Give us somebody back in return. Ooh, offensive line depth. Stoutland probably said he liked him three drafts ago. Bring him in, and that'll be fine.
Yeah.
But there is a larger move here that's going to be loading. And understand this, too. Free agency doesn't end in the first 2 days. You'll see some of these veteran bargains down the line come through. It's just interesting where you operate saying, boy, we had the perfect team last year. We know we can't afford them all in the future, but paring it down piece by piece. And some of these guys got big contracts. Like Milton Williams goes, I like what New England's did. New England actually has a really good defense, horrendous offense. Let's see what they do on the offensive side of the ball. Running back, tight end. You know, Mac Collins isn't going to be that end all be all at the wide receiver position.
No.
I've actually got myself so caught up, Kevin. Like, it's hard to catch up on the NFL with how many teams traded or players traded teams yesterday. It's unbelievable. We'll try to decipher that and get to college basketball up next right here on Money Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
right back at it here. It's Moneyline. Boy, things are changing in the NFL. Quarterbacks all over the place changing hands. Sam Darnold goes out to Seattle. No surprise there. Justin Fields ends up with the Jets. Now, did we talk about that yesterday on the show? Was that already out? I think that was after we left. Some people will hear me the way I talk about teams like the Vegas Raiders. Like, oh, he just hates everybody who stinks. Like, I love the Justin Fields move, Kevin.
Oh, seeing it the same.
He couldn't go back to Pittsburgh. And people might say, no, he's not the perfect fit in Pittsburgh. They're looking for more of a pocket passer. That's the way they're setting up with DK Metcalf. You go to the Jets on what we call a very team-friendly, player-friendly deal. Mm-hmm. We'll make more money than they did last year. The perfect look-see. Mm-hmm. If he stinks this year for the Jets, who cares? You're only building for the future. You wanted to get a look at that quarterback. If he plays well enough to be like, you know what? This guy's top 15 in the NFL, or at least we think he can be.
Yeah.
What a great move. Because then next year in the draft, Kevin, you might have had a bad season. You might have only won 6 games. You got a great draft pick. You don't need, hey, we got a package. This year's one, next year's one, and 2 twos to go get our quarterback. You got him there. I love this move for the Jets because now there's no pressure on Justin Fields. You can actually draw up a playbook that goes, hey, Justin, we know you can run the football. How about this year we don't run the football that much? I'm not saying they're going to do that, and I don't want him because I want to bet on his rushing. But you can actually build an offense for him and go, kid, you're going to start 17 games. There's nobody behind you. Go out there and have fun. And if you show you can be the quarterback we think you can be, Kevin, the next year, yeah, Woody Johnson's breaking out the bank account to sign you, weapons all over the place, and away we go with the Jets.
It's fun when we agree, and we couldn't agree more on this.
Yep.
It is a move that I think people had this quick negative reaction to.
Yes.
And I think that they were maybe off from their starting point. You know, the Jets quarterback position was one that was kind of beating me up what are they going to do? Because I hated all the options. Kirk Cousins, come on. Russell Wilson, come on. This is all. And at 7, they're kind of drafting a no man's land where if there's a quarterback on the board for them to take at 7, it probably means the quarterbacks aren't that good, if that makes any sense. Like a quarterback shouldn't really be there for them at 7 that would be worth taking. And I love even more what you said about how they should approach the Justin Fields season. Hey, Justin, you're not going to throw it 14 times and we're just going to grind out games.
Correct.
You know, 13-6.
Yep. Not the goal.
Fire it. Just fire it to Garrett. Just pretend you're at Ohio State. I don't know. What worked for you at Ohio State? Let's do those things. Because that would be... And I also think, Donnie, right, if you're Aaron Glenn, you go, okay, I'm going to be here next year. My offensive coordinator is going to be here next year. Garrett Wilson's going to be here next year. I don't know about Justin. I'm not going to tailor make this offense to him. I'm not going to have us all worried about quarterback power once a drive. Don't eliminate those things, but play football. Because here's the thing. I know it is not likely that Justin Fields is their guy. It is as likely as it was that Sam Darnold went 14-3, or that Geno Smith now has people calling him a top 10 quarterback, which is great, in the National Football League. Instead of this happening to the Jets, maybe it can happen for the Jets. Instead of all the former first rounders from the Jets finding money elsewhere, maybe the Jets can grab one from another team and actually, and again, if they don't, that might be better. You might convince me they'd be better if Fields is atrocious for 17 games and draft Arch Manning, Garrett Nussmeier, whomever you want to talk about from the college ranks.
Exactly. It's the perfect fit because my MO in the NFL is, what are you doing with your franchise? Are you looking for future quarterbacks? Are you trying to get your foundational quarterback? Or are you just trying to set in stone like, okay, let's get a look-see. Win or lose, because if the Jets go out next year with Justin Fields and win 9 games, they're way ahead of the curve. But if the Jets go out there next year and win 5-6 games, they're still way ahead of the curve because they didn't settle in and say, let's bring Aaron Rodgers back one more year and we're never going to find our future quarterback. This is a step in the right direction. And how about for Justin Fields? Goes to Chicago, which if you do want to do like a 30-30 or a paper for if any kids listening out, they're like, hey, how not to run your franchise? What the Bears did to Justin Fields when they got him. Mm-hmm. Hey, kids, you go out there and nobody else. Hopefully you can be the best quarterback in the history of the sport and lead us to victory. Otherwise, we're not giving you any help. To now going over to the Pittsburgh Steelers who told him, hey, kid, you're real talented, and we drafted you. But Mike Tomlin's like, I don't even know why you're here, to be honest. You're never going to start, so just get over in the corner. Sure. Yeah. To now saying, oh, my goodness. I'm going to get a playbook tomorrow morning. I'm going to be at every OTA. I'm taking every snap with the first teamers right up till game number one as if I'm a starter again. Ooh, this feels good. With no pressure by week three when we're 0-3, and they go, ah, Fields isn't the guy. Try to bring in another quarterback or let Tyrod Taylor let it spin. Like, no, he's never getting benched unless he's injured next year. Love what the Jets did there. On the outside, people, oh, they're going nowhere. Trust me. You got to start somewhere before you move up the list at that point. Other big deals around the NFL too, Kevin. By the way, Najee, here's what I thought was interesting too. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who, let me just ask you this question too, because we're going to run up against the break in a minute or so. Aaron Rodgers, I just see a Dov Kleiman tweet. Now, the Giants have had a good conversation with Aaron Rodgers and let him know he can be really good with Malik Neighbors. That's fantastic. That's ridiculous. What do the Steelers do at quarterback? Let's just say Aaron Rodgers and the Giants make the epic mistake of being him a Giant. You can't tell me that they go back to Russell Wilson. That can't be the play for the Steelers, is it?
I think the play for Pittsburgh is drafting a quarterback. I wonder if they are hoping that a quarterback falls to them. But I don't think it is being discussed anywhere near enough that Justin Fields was given two choices, the Steelers and the Jets, and said, whoa, Metcalf,
Big Apple,
Pickens, yeah, right, get me as far away from this atrocious offense as quick as possible. No, Donnie, they traded for Metcalf. They're beating down his door. Justin, come back. Justin, what are you talking about? And he goes, no way I'm going to the Jets. Like, nobody's... Donnie, the Jets have the longest playoff drought in football. Mike Tomlin is never bad. And Justin Fields went, see ya. Gangrene, baby. I love that. And it should be a major indictment on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But I even look at the Steelers. Like, I honestly think they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth. I don't think they ever wanted Justin Fields. I remember the excitement.
They love him.
Fields is going to compete with Russ. And Tomlin's like, let me call up every radio station across the country and tell them what buffoons they are for thinking Fields ever has a chance to start here. Nothing made sense with the Steelers. And the new quarterback on the way probably won't make any sense either. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, talking NFL action. We're going to switch over to the next segment, though, to college basketball. Some, you know, big-time tournaments starting out. The Power 5 conferences are getting underway today, so I do want to get to that with some thoughts on maybe some futures that you can look at. Last night in college basketball, we'll review that as well. But I do want to put a nice little bow here on this free agent status, because there's a lot of more things that still need to sort of play out, and that's Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's a couple good free agents still left on the market. Go ahead. What do you got?
I just know it's up your alley.
Go.
I don't mean to stop you, but I know it's up your alley. Shout out to our guy, Scott B. He's the Packer fan, DRS.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
He's been with us for years now. He's great.
Yes.
He wrote, at SportsGrid, at Kevin Walsh, needs to be on a Sunday NFL show. Nobody brings the truth like he does. All you hear is how great everyone is. Stop it. Right? Now, it's a great tweet, and I like that. Like, listen, we are very honest, and Donnie and I will take our shots at these teams. But I will say, and Scott, I'm assuming that means you're listening, brother, we on a Sunday NFL show. Well,
like, where's this tweet at? Like, why can't I find it? Did he just send it to you directly? Like,
yes,
where can I find it?
Here, I'll send it to. No, because I'm gonna send it to you, but now you're gonna quote it, and now I'm worried about the ramifications.
Oh, that's good. I'll just have to hunt. If you don't, I'll hunt it down and get it myself.
No,
because
I just sent it to
also tweeted
it
back because I put absolutely cooking on our. On our graphic that came out on Twitter, which says where you can watch a show live like that. And he's like, you know, add facts. So I need to see that tweet. So I'm going to wait for that tweet to.
I sent it over.
So yeah, that's the perfect scenario. Like, hey, upper management, if you could put Kevin on at Mike Cardano, you know what I mean? Can you put Kevin on a Sunday football show?
It'd be nice if this guy works Sunday NFL. That's good, though, man.
Needs to be on a Sunday NFL show. Oh, so good.
But, or like, Donnie, is he taking your approach of, like,
We should still be doing NFL shows. Like, I think nobody cares about the NBA.
Exactly.
Let's get into it.
Yes. Like, we should have a Sunday NFL show every single week now. Would you go to the studio 3 hours every week to talk NFL action? Look, that'd be tough.
That's my only show? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Like, if we reshape the network, like, you know what I mean? No more morning shows, just, you know, football, mid-afternoons, everybody wakes up late. You just play the replays of the day before shows from 8 to 11, 11 to 2, and then you get after it.
Yeah.
Like, run this like the way like an actual sports guy does. Like, sports guys aren't supposed to wake up at 6 a.m. Why? Because they were watching the late night games until 2 a.m. They need to get their sleep in the morning. We could really make that happen.
We got to move some things around. So what are you saying about Rodgers?
Yeah, like what the capabilities. Here's what I'm trying to say. What is his thought process? He's made a ton of money. It's clear that he's no longer the number one choice. Like, oh my God, if Brock Purdy's out of San Francisco, or we're going to kick Brock Purdy out of San Francisco because we want to get Aaron Rodgers in here. That's the wave where we're just so close to win it. We don't want to pay Brock, but we'll pay Aaron Rodgers. Is he at the point of his career now where he goes, and I said this morning, Steelers, I know I'm not first on your list. Mm-hmm. What happens if we did a Russ move? I come there $1 million. Works out, you pay me long term. It doesn't, you cut me, it's the end of the story. Or is he still thinking like, yeah, I love Pittsburgh. 3 for $140 million. 100 guaranteed. Sign me up.
The problem is if you're the Steelers, right? I don't think you can commit to Aaron long term. He's just not coming off of that caliber of season.
But what I'm saying is, do you think he's at the level going like, I want to play for a contender. I have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. Just give me in that door. If it works, we will talk numbers down the line. Just put me in your building. Okay. I want to be your quarterback.
But here's my thing. If you're Rodgers, Donnie, right? If you're being like, what caliber of team does he need to go to feel like he has a chance? Is Pittsburgh that level? Because, well, Pittsburgh is the best of the bunch that's available. Is there a world Rodgers sits, waits, and hopes, not in a mean way, but a QB injury opens up the door for him?
No, because I think he would go to a team, Kevin, that if somebody else did get injured, they would come calling that said team for Aaron Rodgers, and he would okay, and they would get compensation back.
Then he has to go to the Giants, because the Steelers won't do that.
I don't think he's sitting out at all, put it that way. So I think he's in that twofold. Like, I'll play for the Giants, and if we can make a playoff run, that's fun. But
yeah,
if Brock Purdy or, I mean, again, just throwing
Jalen Hurts,
Tua Tagovailoa, just a starting quarterback with aspirations of a Super Bowl to start the season, I think that's what he would do. But I think, like, Pittsburgh is that last shot of, what? I can make this work. Good defense, good coach, winning organization. Let me see one final time. I think he might be able to do it. College basketball next. Let's get started.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ooh, right back at it. College basketball, does somebody say that? By the way, 1-2 last night for me. Disappointing. Went to bed a winner up with 1-0. Woke up in the morning, lost the 2 late games. One didn't go to overtime, which I needed. I found that Big Cat was on that game on some ridiculous 16-game win streak. Yeah, which was the over, which we needed two free throws from a 90% free throw shooter to be made, and he missed both of them. So overtime didn't happen there. And then I lost to St. Mary's over by a couple points with Pepperdine yesterday. Yeah. Like 137.5 game, then of like 133, 134. So it was close, but I had a good weekend Friday. Took the day off Saturday. Another good weekend Sunday. Went 3-2 on Sunday, but the shame was I did get gypped a little bit in two of those games. Should have had a better day, but probably deserved 1-2 yesterday, so I'm fine with that. But been enjoying like first leg competition. So much fun to handle. Sometimes, and by the way, two good starts in the first half really grind to a halt in those games last night, which sometimes you see in those big pressure situations where every possession counts, because most of these teams, you lose, you're out. Your season's done. You're not playing anymore. But today, we do have a start. We're going to get to individual games in a second. They start at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. That's Cincinnati and Oklahoma State out in the Big 12. But I wanted to take a look at some of the futures that were up here on deck. So let me just bring this up here. And by the way, are you traveling at all since you're closer now to Atlantic City for the Metro Atlantic?
I don't
think they had a ride for you
I did not plan on it. Mm-hmm. I would have to see. No, I don't think I can. Just kind of thinking about my schedule. Now set this neither up while I get her out of the room because she's.
Yeah, here's what we're doing, guys. We're going to set up the tournaments here that start the major conferences, right? ACC tournament, Big 12 tournament, SEC tournament. You get the point in this picture. Big 10 tournament. I do want to start in the ACC because that does get underway today. And by the way, even though we get excited, like, hey, the Power 5 conference out there, these games stink today for all intents and purposes. It's one really good game today. Actually, it's not in the Power 5 conferences. It's out west in the WCC, which is Gonzaga, and they're taking on St. Mary's. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But the ACC has it listed here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a heavy favorite. I think the heaviest favorite across the board right now by far. It's Duke at a -330 price. And we were trying to compare and contrast this morning, Kevin, on the early line. Like, boy, look at that price compared to like the other conferences with really good basketball teams. Like, understand this. Duke is phenomenal. Based on KenPom, I think the second best season in the history of his website, which shows you how dominant they've been, particularly in the ACC. But also understand this. Duke went 19-1. The two teams behind them, they only had two losses. And one of those teams did beat Duke. They're -330. The next closest, Clemson and Louisville, the two second-place teams. +650 and a 7-1 price. So my question to you to start here is not, hey, do you think Duke wins the ACC championship? But is it worth a flyer where you take a small piece of Clemson and Louisville and say, somebody knocked down Duke, I got money in my pocket and at a good price?
So I decided between two teams, neither were Louisville or Clemson. Because I don't think anybody actually thinks one of them is beating.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't think anyone actually believes either Louisville or Clemson beats them. One of the teams I was deciding between was that legitimately Duke. Because I think they are that good.
Correct.
And it's like, listen, I know this is ridiculous, but this is gonna get paid out. And then what I actually bet was the 30-1 on North Carolina.
Yeah. Let's go. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Yes.
Look,
come on.
If UNC pulls off that upset.
Bye.
They had a second half lead over Duke just the other day. That's the ticket that I want to hedge. That's the ticket that I want to hedge in the final. That's the big ticket. That's a free roll. That not Clemson at 7-1.
Yes.
And then, first of all, the Louisville game's a coin flip, just saying you pick Clemson, right? Mm-hmm. Then you get to, and let's say you don't get lucky, right? And let's say we're wrong about North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You play Duke. Duke's going to be like -600 to win that game. You're not hedging that. You're like, I just hope. You know what I mean? So
they do. So did they play Duke, what, round two? Is it probably going to be? I think Ben was trying to break it down when it is.
In the semifinals, essentially.
And honestly, I wouldn't even hedge that because like a $25 bet right now, 28-1 on FanDuel is $700 back to you. $700 win.
Yeah.
And it is far-fetched and it is long, but Kevin is right. Like if smart better goes, Duke's probably going to win this and -330 is there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Clemson and Louisville, probably the best teams to knock off Duke if they can. Clemson, by the way, already beat Duke. There's a chance there. But I just look at saying like time and circumstance, Duke gets knocked out in this tournament. Man, does Cooper even want to play in March Madness? Like, no, they're going to March Madness. It's going to be a great basketball team. They're going to be a great bet. Probably still, like, worst case, if they get knocked out early, a 2 seed, worst case, which is they could probably get beat round number one again and still be a number one seed, depending on how some of the other conferences play out.
Yeah,
except any crazy, crazy stuff happens. But I just look at that and say, like, Carolina is not like, okay, we beat Duke. Awesome. We're in. No. Like, they have to finish the deal and go quad one, after them to take advantage of that.
Oof. Yeah, I see it as well. I took the North Carolina shot. If it comes in, it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, I'm not, I think Louisville-Clemson is such a hard game that people be like, ah, and then I'll just hedge it when they play Duke. It's like, you have a dogfight on your hands,
either
side of that equation. I have a future in for all the Big Five, so we can go to any one of them that you want to go to.
Yeah, let's go. Big 12 conference up next there. Houston, obviously, best team in conference, play +110, but boy, 5-6 teams in that with a legitimate chance. And just based on the odds, right? Usually it's like, hey, you get down to the 5th or 6th team, they're 40-1. Like, you get down to the 6th team, that's BYU. That's 12-1. Kansas, 12-1. Arizona, +950. Iowa State, plus 550, Texas Tech plus 340, then Houston at a plus 110 price. I already have an affinity for Texas Tech and Iowa State. I just do. I like their metrics. I like the way they play. They can shoot the three. They can play D. Everything I need for myself to sort of have a winning ticket. So I always look at these tournaments like, how can I fade the top team in at Houston? I would do the same thing again. Like in the ACC, I'm not saying I want to take Louisville because I don't think Louisville is great, even though their conference record is good. They pounded everybody because they're bad. Same thing with Clemson. I think Duke runs away. Houston is great, 19-1, but I don't think they run away with this conference. So I'm more likely to say, how about Texas Tech or Iowa State? Or even something crazy like Kansas, I think, is being priced way higher than what they should be. They should be 15, 16, 17, 18 to 1, but they're playing in Kansas City. Every game they have there, Kevin, that's going to be a home game here. I am so intrigued by the Big 12, but if I had two bets to knock off Houston, I still would go Texas Tech. I love those two teams. I just love them.
I played Texas Tech at plus 425. I think Houston's the best team. I think Houston's going to win the national championship. Yep. But I have some respect for Iowa State and BYU, and I think that's a tough game. So at plus 105, what I saw the other day, I wasn't enamored with that Houston number. However, I don't believe in Baylor very much, Donnie, so I fully expect Texas Tech in the semifinal. And I think Kansas versus Arizona is a heck of a game. I think Kansas is a little more dangerous than Arizona to Texas Tech. That's me.
Me too.
But I also don't want to fall in love with Kansas just because they cashed me a best bet ticket this weekend, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, go head over heels. So I played Texas Tech at plus 425. If they play Houston in the final, Houston will be favored, but on a neutral 4?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in a half, right?
Yeah,
I'll
maybe
be able
less.
To, I'll be able to move off that.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll be able to move off that if I feel so inclined. And if they're not playing Houston, I'll probably just give Texas Tech then the opportunity to win that thing outright.
Yeah. It's a great conference tournament because I think there's legitimately five teams that can probably win that conference. And that's saying something with how good Houston is. But everything changes, man. Neutral court makes things a little bit crazy. Teams match up evenly. You get hot. I always talk about the slingshot effect where some of the bye teams catch a hot team that's already played well earlier on that round or maybe two rounds before that. Mm-hmm. It gets fun. Big East tournament. St. John's by far the favorite here. Plus 140. They're essentially playing on their home court. They're going to have home crowd advantage as well as UConn does bring a lot of fans down from Connecticut into the Garden. But St. John's, that's their building. Connecticut's 410 along with Creighton 410. Marquette 6-1. Xavier 8-1. Villanova 16-1. Are we believing in the Johnnies? Like they're going to run the table in the Big East tournament as well? Like I don't know if that price doesn't buy for me, Kevin, plus 140. I can't take that plus 140.
I'm not as in on everyone as St. John's. I think they can. I was going to bet Marquette, but I had too much respect for Xavier. I went to the other side of the bracket. I played Nova at 15-1.
Wow. Do they need it? UNC style?
Gotta get after it. I don't think UConn's that good. I don't think Creighton's that good. I think Nova's around the same range as those teams.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Plus 155, Florida plus 240, Alabama 5-1, Tennessee 6-1, and then the Kentucky fall off 23-1 to 23-1, Kentucky and A&M. Put it this way: Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee. You didn't take anybody behind them, did you?
No.
Yeah.
I considered Kentucky, but here's why I didn't play.
You're right in on them.
No, no, no. I'll tell you why I didn't play Kentucky mainly. So I think they can beat Bama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can do anything beyond that. I don't think they're beating Florida. I don't think they would win the championship. Now, it's a big number, Donnie. Like, Kentucky's playing well defensively over the last few.
By the way? Atlanta? Where are they?
Nashville.
Nashville, okay. I think. All right.
But I played one of the big four.
So Auburn, Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee. I have a blind spot for Florida. I have to reevaluate this week. And I don't know if it's going to, because I always tell you this too. If Texas Tech, honestly, runs through the Big 12 and wins it, I'm going to be pretty upset by that. Because then I feel like it opens the eyes to like, oh, yeah, that's right. They're good. or Iowa State. I almost want one of those teams, like, let's just say I was like, hey, man, I think Auburn's going to win it. They get bounced round one. And it's like, maybe they were a paper champion in the SEC this year. And that price point goes up another dollar or two. Like, now's my time to pounce. So I'm going to say that you bet Florida then. I'm going to say you bet Florida. No?
No.
Right?
No.
Bama?
No.
Wow. It can't be Tennessee.
It is.
Wow. What's... I can't do it with Tennessee. Now, give me reasoning. Give me some reasoning.
I'll try. So my reasoning is I couldn't get involved with the bottom of that bracket because I think Kentucky might beat Bama, but they can't beat Florida. I think Bama would beat Florida if they got there, but I'm not sure I like any of them in the championship game. If all of the prices were even, I would be betting Auburn. I would be, but they're not even. And I have... You know, you're looking at plus 150 for what is supposed to be the deepest and best conference the sport has maybe ever seen. I cannot get there. Auburn's beaten all of them, right? They beat Florida. They beat Bama. They've beaten Texas A&M. They can't beat Kentucky for whatever reason. Their loss to Auburn was by 2 on the road. But Tennessee, again, it's just to win a tournament like this. To me, if they get through Auburn, I feel great about it, and that's in the semis. I don't know. I don't buy A&M as much of a threat. I think that's part of the reason I'm getting the caliber of number I am, Donnie, in that 4-5 potential. I don't know. I'm maybe not giving A&M enough respect. And I'll say this, and I'm not sure I will. There's a part of me that might consider betting Auburn money line if those teams meet in the semifinal as a hedge. Now, I know that's dangerous because Tennessee can win that game. I lose my hedge, then get eliminated in the final, and now I've lost extra. I think it's either going to be Tennessee or Auburn, though. So that's kind of – the Auburn number was too good to be for me to pass up on.
It's going to be fun to watch that SEC tournament. When's that start? Tomorrow, I want to say? Obviously, if it's not starting today, it's got to start on a Wednesday.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Today.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. It starts tomorrow. Let me just say this quickly before you move over. Just you mentioned the blind spot on Florida. So everybody knows how high I am on Houston. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more with you. I wanted to take some time to really dive into who deserves what seed. I think Florida should be in front of Houston in terms of one line. Now, that stuff usually doesn't matter, but that is how good the Florida resume is.
Good.
Like that team, they are very, very, again, all the results suggest they are fantastic.
No, and it does. And for some reason, I've been waiting on a team. Are they really this good at this point? But you're right. The resume is they can beat anybody anywhere at any time. I play multiple ways. You want to score 100 points, they can do it. You want to play a little bit of defense, they can do that as well. It's a fun team to bet and handicap, but I just don't feel like I have a grasp on them just yet. And that could change. Because that's why, like, it's fun to talk about the conference tournaments without me saying, like, hey, I took a piece of Duke to win the national championship. Like, I really need to see how these teams play this week out. Because the world, Gerrit Cole's best pitcher in the American League. Let me bet him to win the Cy Young. Oh, you were still in spring training. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to get a better price point. Guy goes down with injury. Like, what did I even do? Now, Grant, by the way, if you put that bet in, do you get your money back?
I think no. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
The only thing I would reach out to the book and say, listen to me. I understand you're not going to give me the money back, but please grade it as a loser. I am begging you because I cannot scroll past this until
for 6 months.
December. Yep. 6 months?
I never ask the question about even if I get my money back. And it's, they never gave it back to me. Like, ooh, I wonder if I get my $100 or so back or whatever it is. Yeah that's a terrible press. That's why I hold off because I do want to see, like, man, I love Duke. They just gave him the worst run, I think. Now, granted, can Duke overcome a bad run in a tournament? Sure they can. They're that talented. But you want Eli. Oh, my God. Kevin, they don't even get a matchup to the Final Four. Like, that's what you want.
Yeah. Last year, UConn, people were like, whoa, Auburn's the 4 in their bracket. And then Auburn lost to Yale. And I was like,
yes.
Well, never mind.
Exactly. Like, the shakeup, I guess it was before. Like, I remember being a kid, like, get the Sharpies out and stuff like that. Like, I always remember have good brackets. Now, like, now in this day and age, it's like, man, brackets explode, like, in the first 6 games of the tournament now. It used to be like, hey, man, first down, I lost one team. And now it's like, no, I lost, like, one team in every single bracket, day number one. So, congrats. And 2 of those were Sweet 16s. 1 was an Elite 8. I lost my Final Four team day 1. Like, it's always going to pop up. Big Ten for me, Michigan State, I do think is the best team in that conference, plus 250 price. But it just feels like, again, when we talk about price points, plus 250, plus 370, 6-1, plus 750, plus 750, plus 750, 16-1, 16-1. Mm-hmm. It feels like anybody can win this conference. Because I love the way Michigan State plays. They're not special. They play good defense. They play good offense. And they got Izzo. But you don't look at them as like Duke running through the ACC or even like Houston. Like, hey, man, that's a real pedigree. They are the best team in the Big Ten. But if you tell me like Purdue knocks them out before even like the Big Ten championship, like, that's the way it goes.
I think it's a lot to ask Michigan State to win this tournament with the amount of wins they've been stacking in the regular season.
Yeah.
I took UCLA, plus 850 number. Wow. I think they're being a little disrespected here heading into this tournament.
How about that? Big Ten tournament. Let's get to some of the games of the day today, which include Gonzaga, St. Mary's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cincinnati, Oklahoma State. You know, okay, State loves to go fast. A little tempo action. Line goes from 138.5 to 137.5. I struggle a little bit at these two games start of the day, 12:30 and 2 p.m. Pittsburgh, Notre Dame, bad and bad. Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, bad and bad. Do you dip your toes in these? Arizona State, K-State, Syracuse, Florida State, any of those games? Or are you focused more on the games that mean something, quote unquote, today?
No, I will just because, you know, I appreciate the big conferences. Mm-hmm. I haven't done anything yet, though, right? So I don't know if I'll...
Heck.
Ooh. You know what I'll say? I don't
Cal even plays in the ACC. What
it's
do you got?
Very weird. This might be a bad take for me that last year me wouldn't agree with.
Yeah.
But I don't like that now the conference has got so big, not everybody makes the conference tournament. I don't think I'm here for that.
Yeah, leaving some teams out. Do they not get paid? Or do they still get paid for it?
What payment work? I didn't even know payments were coming in.
Yeah, man, that's why they have the conference tournament. You know what I mean?
I didn't know that.
Bigger pool for the conference. Yeah, otherwise, you wouldn't have it at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I just figured that's how we get in, right? Like, I didn't even think too much into it there.
You going to be at 9 o'clock tonight, though? Zags? Gales?
I was on the Dons last night, so that was good.
Cover.
14.5.
Pepperdine. See, Pepperdine closing like a 14-2 run to get under that number from St. Mary's.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was upset. I missed out on I was going to take the Blazers catching 12. Mm. They're down 13. Simons hit one with like 6 seconds left. It would have been nice to be a part of that, but I just didn't even bet the game.
Yep. Lakers fall apart. Probably go back to 6th seed now all of a sudden. Tough scene, tough loss to Brooklyn.
No, it is a tough loss. I mean, listen, they were very shorthanded, but they were still booked as a favorite. Yeah, you could tell he was upset. It's a bad game to not take serious because I don't know if they're going to be fully healthy when they have to play Milwaukee either. So they're in a tough spot.
I loved it. I loved it because the Brooklyn got a victory, now tied up with the Sixers. Keep going, Brooklyn. Come on, roll.
Yeah, look, Brooklyn's just powering through, man. Everybody thought their win total was 19.5. I mean, they absolutely smashed that number. The Heat are abysmal. They're pathetic.
They got beat. Mm-hmm.
Spoelstra, by the way, has no longer any claims.
No longer the greatest coach.
No, absolutely not. They have the most losses this year when leading by 15 or more. You can't be the best coach in the NBA when that's the case. You just cannot.
Slam the door.
The NBA slate's pretty light tonight, right?
It is light. Only 4 games. Only 4 games tonight. 2 spreads are like the 2 touchdowns or higher. Cleveland's like 19 point favorite today over Brooklyn. Like, it's just bad basketball across the board. So get ready for that one. Who is it? Clippers, I think, 6-7 point favorites in New Orleans. Like, it's a bad slate altogether. Oh. The Zags St. Mary's tonight should be a good one.
Yeah.
You have this. The background is St. Mary's beat Gonzaga, both home and away. Neutral court site now. Gonzaga's the favorite. So if you're just looking at lines, that tells you something right there. But I actually do believe. Like, St. Mary's, I bet, only bet one time St. Mary's against Gonzaga this year. And obviously it was a winner. It was St. Mary's at home. I thought it was the right play at that point. Low spreads in both of those. Low spread again in this one. It's maybe what, 2.5? Two and a half, is it? Where's that line at now? Let me just go down to the bottom of the page. It is 3.5 across the board as a favorite towards Gonzaga. And again, they lost both of their games already. But the style makes it an interesting fight here. St. Mary's, Kevin, best three-point defense in conference play chasing you off, which means we don't let you shoot the three-point shot. You know who has the least amount of volume from three-point range? It's Gonzaga. But they make a decent amount. So they're like, you know, if wide open, mm-hmm. we'll take it. If not, we're not going to press. Point distribution, they're number one in conference play, Gonzaga, at scoring inside the paint. 57% of their offense comes inside the paint. You know who's number one? 58% of giving up points inside the paint, St. Mary's, even though they have the best overall defense in conference play. Because they don't really foul you, and they don't let you shoot from the three-point line. So if I'm Gonzaga, I'm like, okay, wide open three, I'll knock it down. If not, we're going down low. Like, I actually think that line, not just reading the line, I think Gonzaga wins that game tonight. I'm a St. Mary's fan. Like, I never really root for Gonzaga that much. But I think mm-hmm. Gonzaga's the right play tonight, I do.
Grant Ike props then, maybe? Just based on what I'm hearing from you?
27-10 last night, too. Yeah, huge. Exactly. Rebounds and down low. Like, we're not looking at three-point daggers on the outside. Like, hey, I went 4 of 11. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah.
Gonzaga lost this game last year in the final mm-hmm. as a favorite.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of had some struggles. They, you know, they were surged last year. I think they won at Rupp, if I'm not mistaken, and then it just kind of kept going from there. But they lost the final to St. Mary's. I'm struggling with this game. I don't know. Can I get four with St. Mary's? Awesome, can I get four?
Yeah, locals are giving four. I'll give that to you. There you go.
Lisey might negotiate. Get a five.
Exactly. What are we doing out there on the West Coast? There you go. That'll do it for today's show on a Tuesday. Good people on the news. Still on the West Coast. Kevin Ross.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.